Yeah, praise the Lord. It's nice to have you today. Thank you very much for coming. The Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. Oh, yeah. I want to welcome you all once again. Those who have traveled long ways, Terry, my brother, I invited him, and he had to drive 300 miles away. And I know many of you have traveled long miles away, but thank you. For those who have come from far and those who have come near, thank you very much. I want to thank, before I start, the Elim Church family, where Niger comes from. Do you want to raise your hands? Yeah, would you clap for them? They're putting this thing together. Thank you very much, Niger especially, because when I came over last year, we talked through the things when I had the men's breakfast. We had 10, and he said, no, we can add a zero on this 10. So we focused at 100 men, and now we are here. Here we are. Praise the Lord. And I want to thank my brother Malcolm. He's keeping us in his house. So we are the three men in the house, and the Lord is with us there, and he's feeding us well. God bless you, Malcolm, for doing whatever you're doing for the work of God. Greetings from Uganda. I came with my pastor, Pastor George Kasiri. Of course, I'll be introducing him when he speaks this afternoon. I'll come and introduce him to you officially, who he is to me. So, such a wonderful weekend that the Lord is giving us. I was bringing greetings from Uganda. I'm a pastor of Life Changing Church. From Kampala. I have a family, yes. I'm married to Flavia Katende, and we have three children. We have Rebecca, who is 14. We have Moses, who is 11 years, and the last one.
Okay. Malcolm thinks I should use this, yeah. Okay.
Remove this.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this sounds like me. I thought somebody was talking, but now it's me. So, Jochebed Sarah is our little girl. So we have three children. We thank God for that. God has given us a very good family, and we're enjoying it. Praise the Lord. I just pray that God will help you understand my accent, because English is my second language. Father in heaven, I want to thank you. I want to honor you. I want to worship you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, this wonderful weekend that you've given us as men. I know praising is rising, but also men are rising, O Lord. You are rising men all over the world. And thank you, Lord, for we are part of this revival that is sweeping the whole world. And this town here and these people here, Lord, are part of that. Father, as I speak your word unto your people, change all of us, O Lord. Encourage us wherever we have been so weak, and heal, because we are so wounded in our hearts. We are struggling with the issues, with families, and lots of things are happening within us, Lord. But Father, pray that this day and this weekend, you will heal us from the inside out. And this man here will be happy again in your presence. And as we share, I pray that the Holy Spirit will invade this place, this will invade this ground, and everybody will feel the presence of God, and many will be drawn back to your Lord. And our service will bring pleasure to you, our Creator, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. We have this ministry called Male to Manhood that you're running with Pastor George Kasiri back in Uganda. When the Lord gave us this bud in our hearts, it wasn't so easy, because men are not so easy to minister in. If you're a pastor, if you're a leader, you must know what I'm talking about. Men, because I'm a man, I'm not so easy, and I know men are not so easy. I've seen women doing conferences and meetings and fellowships, and they just blossom. They just grow, from little numbers to bigger numbers within no time. But men, ministry is not easy. But the Lord said, I want you to go and reach out to the men. I'll be there. I'll back you up. I'll be in your meetings, and I'll show myself. And since we started and we obeyed the Lord, we had totally nothing. We had totally nothing to carry on this ministry, but we started anyway. And we started with small meetings, but before we knew it, we are meeting thousands of men. Thousands of men are being drawn in bigger marquees. And we have reached a moment in Uganda where no church can accommodate us because we are too many, we are in thousands. Praise the Lord. What we thought was so difficult became so easy in the presence of God. I think what we need to do is to be obedient, and God will do his work. So sometimes we do what we call impossible. God said, whatever is impossible is for him. But many times we carry things that are impossible, and we carry them, and then we fail, and we get frustrated. So when God tells you to do something and it seems to be impossible, just do it, because he will help you, he will back you up, and he will be with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, in the middle of my talking, when I say 1, 2, 3, I want to hear the men say yes. So 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
This is men's meeting now. Thank you very much. It's unfortunate. I was supposed to use PowerPoint, but for some reasons, we know the reason. It's too bright for the PowerPoint, but I hope I should be able to see my notes here. Here we go. We need to know who a man is. We need to know who a man is, and we are going to go back to the foundation. How God thinks about the man. Why did he create the man? What is the purpose of man? Why are we here on earth? What are we doing? What are we supposed to do? What is our calling as men? Why did he create us men? Very important. Very important as we continue to share. But I want you to know that when God wanted to create humanity, he had an idea in his mind. And he wanted to create, humanity. And the word human comes from two words, humus and man. Now, humus means dirt or the dust. And then man means the spirit. Okay? So that's where we get the word human. So when God thought of creating man or humanity, the Bible says he created and he made. The word create means to bring something out of nothing, totally nothing. So that was his spirit, because there was nothing like his spirit on earth. So he created, there was the spirit there, but then he wanted a shell where this spirit would dwell. So he got the humus, which is the dirt, which is our body, the shell, and put his spirit in that. But the shell he made, the dirt he made from the dust, because already the dust was there, the dirt was there, the earth was there, because make means you create something out of something. Creation means you are creating something out of nothing. So his spirit was put into this body, but this body was male. You see, when you are beginning something, when you are a contractor, a builder, you don't begin with chandeliers. Do you begin with chandeliers? Do you begin with the lights? Do you begin with the walls? Do you begin with the windows? What do you begin with? Foundation. Thank you. So when God wanted to create humanity, humanity, he thought of this shell, the body. And the body was male. So because the man is the foundation. God's strategy to dominate the earth, to rule the earth, and to manage the earth was based upon the male, amen, the man. Don't lose that one. Praise the Lord. But he put his spirit in us. Of course, he told Adam, he put him into the garden. When he created him out of the earth, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when he created him from the earth, in verse 15, he took him into the garden. When he created him, now, there was no woman yet, and he took him into the garden. Now, the garden was already there. He first created the garden for Adam. Now, what does the word Eden mean? If you go in the Hebrew, the word Eden means a spot. It means a moment. If you dig deeper, it means a delightful place, the presence of God. So the Lord took this man and brought this man and put him into the garden, which was already there. Because according to God, before he makes anything, he has to create its environment first. Before the Lord makes anything, he has to create its environment first. I'll prove that. When he created the fish, he had to put the water first. Water came first before the fish was put in the sea. Before the plants came out of the earth was already, he first created the earth. Before he created the stars in the sky, he first created the firmament. And before he created man, he first made him a spot, his presence where to dwell. So man must live in the presence of God. And if you remove any of these things that God created, if you remove them from their environment, they malfunction.
Amen.
When you remove the fish from the sea, from the water, they malfunction and die. When you remove the trees from the earth, they malfunction and die. When you remove the firmament, the power in the firmament, in the sky, the stars will die. And when you remove man from Eden, the spot, the presence of God, he will die. He will malfunction and he will die. That's why we need to go back. That's why the Lord is saying, no, this is the foundation. And if the foundation is shaken, if the foundation is lost, what can the world do? What can the righteous do? What can families do when the foundation is taken? That's why the devil is fighting tooth and nail to make sure that man does not dwell in the presence of God. Because when man dwells in the presence of God, he becomes a terror unto the enemy. But thank God, the revival is going to sweep the whole world. And we are here. This is 100 men conference of weekend. But you're going to have thousands and thousands of men coming together. And we are going to terrorize the enemy's camp. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are going to do it. And the Lord is backing us. And he's with us. Because he cannot afford humanity to be lost like that. When the foundation is shaken, what can the righteous do? What can the families do? What can the governments do? What can people do if the men are lost? We need to go back into God's presence. We need to go back and be able to function. The reason why you see a lot of vices going on, a lot of crime is going on, is because the men lost it. Men have been away and they are malfunctions. And that's why an average man kills, an average man shoots. And it's very dangerous. When you move out of the presence of God, we become very dangerous. And we malfunction. It's my prayer today that all men, all of us, go back to the presence of God, into his presence. The Bible says that men should raise their hands before the Lord. The enemy will fight that. But you're not here to please him. We are going back to our Lord, our Maker. The Bible says, bow down before the Lord God, your Maker. And the men are going back. Somebody say, I'm going back. Yes, we're going back. Because when we build the man, you see, it is the man that begins the family. Always. I know things are trying to be changed one of these days, but it's the man that must begin the family. And strong men, if you see, when Adam was put in the Garden of Eden, he was there alone in the presence of God. He didn't have to struggle to go before the Lord. No. He had direct access. He didn't have to fast. He didn't have to cry to the Lord. No. They were friends and he had direct access. And the Lord gave him instruction how to live there. By the way, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. Please write if you're making notes or you buy the CD. Are we recording? Yeah, thank you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. The Bible says that the earth, there was no rain on the earth there was no rain at all. Because, and the Bible continues to say, because there was no man to work the earth. There was no man to till the ground. So there was no rain. So there was no growth. There was nothing that was functioning really. There was nothing that was growing. Everything that was put to, you know, it was in its static form. Nothing was growing. Nothing was happening really because there was no man to manage. So there was no rain. And in verse 7, when God created man and put him into the garden, verse 15 of chapter 2 of Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, when he was put into the garden, then the rain came. What does that mean? That man, nothing could grow because man was not there. So the moment man was put into the garden, the moment man was created and put into the garden, then things started growing. Why? Because man was created to manage. Where there is no management, there is no growth. Because no man was there to manage the garden and the earth, the rain was not there. When the man was created and put into the garden, then rain started coming and things started to grow. And the Lord taught him, manage now. You can manage this. I've given dominion. He says, let us make man in our own image and let them have dominion. Now, the word, there are two words there. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. There are two words there. There's let us. Everybody say, let us. Yeah. And there's another word, let them. Everybody say, let them. Now, when he says, let us, you can see that God is involved. You say, when I say, let us go, it means we are going together. When I say, let them go, it means I'm staying. So when God says, let us make man, so he was involved and he made the man. He created the man. But when it came to dominion, to rule and manage and have control, because that's the meaning of the word dominion. Dominion means kingdom, rule, manage, have control. When it came to dominion, he said, let them. And he locked himself outside. Let man, because I've given him the potential to rule and lead and control and manage. Let him rule. Let him have control over what I have created, and said, let them have dominion. So the man became the manager of the earth. So if man is not managing anything, that means it's wrong. We're supposed to be managers, managing the earth, controlling the earth, not the woman, but the earth. But this time the woman was not there. But God has given this Adam the instruction to have control and to manage what was growing in the garden, what was growing in his presence. And gave him another instruction and said, till now the land and guard it. So the first man was a soldier, was a guardman to protect everything that was under his care. That is our responsibility as male. The spirit in a male body. So the woman was not there yet, but God gave him all this. So that means before the woman comes, before any man marries, he must be in the presence of God. Because when Eve was created, when she was made actually, she found Adam in the garden, which is God's presence. The reason why we have families that are malfunctioning, we marry outside God's presence. And we never succeed. We never succeed. So Adam was there. And before the woman was created, Adam had his work. God had given him work. Another problem that we have today, we have men who are marrying today, when they are doing nothing. If you are going to marry, you must be in the presence of God, and you must be having a job. You must have well managed your life before you bring in a woman, before you marry. The reason why we have failing families, because we marry without thinking about the other three. At the end of the day, our families are malfunctioning. So we need to revise our ways. I know we have already made mistakes, but it's not too late. We can correct them. We can take our families before the presence of God, and things will work again. 1, 2, 3. You forgot it. I said, when I say 1, 2, 3, yes. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Don't forget that. Yeah. So we thank God for that. And I want to show you something here. Because we don't have much time. So I'll be skipping a few things that I was supposed to say because of time, in the interest of time. So man became the manager of the earth. But the Lord had told man that guard what I've given you. Protect what I have given you. It was in Adam's full authority and dominion to control what the Lord had given him. But then when the Lord says, guard, protect, the reason why we lock our doors is because we expect thieves to come anytime. That's why we lock them. So when God says protect, he was expecting an enemy. The enemy was in the vicinity. The enemy was somewhere. So we must be careful that the enemy is looking for what is in the garden. Very important. The enemy is looking for what God has given us. You must be on guard. You must be careful what you say, what you do, how you do it, everything. You must be a security conscious because the enemy is always there. And the Lord told him, it is in your power. I've given you authority. I've given you anything. But don't eat of the tree that I put in the garden. But anyway, as you know the story, Adam ended up eating what was prohibited. But let me tell you something. It came through Eve. Because the enemy is very wise. He will use something or somebody that you love most to put you down. So what do you crave for in life? What do you love most? Be careful. The enemy may use that one. So be careful what you love most. Now, God told Adam all this story and the instructions when the woman was not there. Now, the enemy knew that the woman was not there when the Lord was giving Adam instructions. So, the enemy came through this woman and twisted the truth. Did he surely say that you would not die? Is it really true? Now, Eve was overcome by the power of her intellect because she was not there when the Lord was speaking. I think she had secondhand information. She was not there because the man was alone. So she was overcome by the power of her intellect. But then Adam was overcome by the power of his passion because he must have loved Eve so much that when Eve spoke to him, he could not, overcome. He could not guard himself. He was overcome in the power of his affection, his passion. He was so passionate about Eve. And sometimes, if you're a man, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you're in front of a woman, you lose your senses, a few senses, you know. And you realize later that you've given her more than you were supposed to give. You know what I'm saying? Because you lost a few senses when she was before you. You know what I'm saying? So men are always overcome by their passions. So be careful. Don't lose any of your senses. Be strong. So the point is, the enemy was not looking for Eve anyway. Because the enemy will always look for the foundation. Because God, like any other contractor or any other builder, he began with the foundation. Now, the enemy is also looking for the foundation because he also knows that when the foundation is shaken, nothing will go on. Nothing will matter, really. So he's coming through Eve, but he's targeting Adam. Now, I'll give you a few examples in the scriptures. Then you'll know who the enemy is targeting. Let me tell you something. The enemy is not interested in women as he is interested in the man. He has some interest in them, yeah, but not as much as for men. Is that true? Oh, yeah. Because he knows who you are. What is that which the devil knows about you that you are ignorant of? My people perish because of lack of knowledge. What is that you don't understand about yourself that the enemy knows? Because when you do not understand something about yourself that is precious, you always put it there. You always, you know, just put it, you just waste it because you don't understand the value. Men should stop spending their lives just like that. You are not a waste. You are not lazy. I know the media has put a lot of things on men, but we are not what the media is saying. We are what the Lord said we are. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. So the enemy is not targeting Eve in the garden. He's targeting the man because the enemy knows that the man is the foundation of the family. And when the foundation is shaken, the enemy knows that families do not stand. I'll give you a few examples in the scriptures and we'll see what I'm talking about. So the enemy is not targeting Sarah. You know Sarah, Abraham's wife? You remember when she brought this beautiful suggestion and said, you know what? You can go in for Hagar and we can have children. That was Sarah's original idea. But the enemy was not targeting Sarah. He was targeting Abraham. He was not targeting Potiphar's wife. You remember Joseph's story? He's targeting this young man because he knows Joseph, what he's going to become of in Egypt. So he's not targeting Potiphar's wife, but Joseph. He's not targeting Bathsheba. You know David's story. He's targeting this man on the balcony, David. He's not targeting Job. I mean Job's wife. Remember that? Remember when Job's wife said that? Came and said, you know what? Why don't you deny God and die? But Job was not into that. He was not prepared to die. He said, though my body warms, the worms come out of my body, yet I'll see the Lord in this very body. So he was not ready to die. So he did not listen. Men should not listen to anything that compromises your position. You should not compromise to anything that compromises your position before the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Now, I love my wife. She's very precious. Without her, I wouldn't be what I am. I truly believe that. But if she ever tells me anything that compromises my position before God, I will not listen. I will not just out of the house, but I won't listen. If she tells me anything that supports me and she helps me in what the Lord is telling me to do, I will listen. Men, don't compromise. Because the enemy is looking for you. When Moses was born, all the male children were killed. And the girls were spared. When Jesus was born, all the male children were killed. And the girls were spared. So what is that that is hunting the male seed? What is that that is hunting us? What is that that has taken us out of church? What is that that has taken us out of the presence of God? It is the same spirit that was hunting Adam, that was hunting Abraham, that was hunting David, that was hunting Joseph, that was hunting Job, that was hunting all the boys in Jesus' time, that was hunting all the boys in Moses' time, is hunting us. And has taken us away, has killed our children. If you go to prisons, there are more males there than women. Think about it. If the enemy ever comes to Halifax and on this camping site, guess who is hunting, who is looking for? When he comes to your family, guess who is looking for? And every man is struggling. He's struggling. But thank God for today, he's going to heal us. As you go back into his presence, he will restore us. He will not forsake us. I want you to know that there are two people that are dying for men, for the men. One is God, of course. Another one is the devil. Both are interested in the man. But we must yield. We must be obedient to our God. Don't listen to what the enemy is telling you. Now, let me tell you something. Many men are confused. They confuse their bodies to control them. Don't be confused by the body that the Lord gave you, because you are not the body. You are the man in the body. So don't follow what the body is telling you. You know what I'm saying? The body will always go and do this, go and drink, go and do all these kind of vices, go and kill. You remember when Grandma was telling us he wanted to kill his father? The body is telling him that. The enemy is using the body. But always listen to the spirit, because you are not the body. You are a spirit. Remember, the body came from the dirt, and to always love dirty things. But I want you to acknowledge that you are a spirit, not just a body. Don't follow what your body is telling you. Follow what the Lord is saying through your spirit, and you shall live. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's very important. Very important. So you know who is being hunted and who is being killed. Now, the devil will always trap women, but he will kill the men. Be careful. I was thinking when Graham was sharing yesterday, and I thought, you see, even our systems seem to be forgetting about the man. In the country where I come from, we have women MPs in the parliament, but we don't have men MPs. And I'm going to raise that when I go back. If women's issues are represented in the parliament, we also have issues. How many men have got issues here? Everybody. Everybody. So we need to be represented in parliament. But the system seems to be killing men, because they think we are okay, but we are not okay. We have issues. We have issues. We need to be represented. When I go back, I'm going to raise that. Oh yeah, I'm putting a newspaper. We need men MPs. Just as we have women MPs. Because we have issues. You see, in our country, we have an organization that the Global Fund and the international organizations, they have all these organizations in Uganda supporting the women, which is okay. I'm not against that. But who is supporting the man? We should always think about that. Who is standing in for the male child? You see, when the girls are being grown, I don't know about here, but in my culture, when the girls are being grown up, they are always taken to their aunties to tell them to grow into womanhood, how to be a good mother, how to be a good wife, how to be, you know, good and behaved. And they teach them that when a woman is standing up, she doesn't just stand up anyhow, but she must stand up carefully. That's how they teach them. But us boys, nobody tells us. Nobody tells us to be a good husband. Nobody tells us to be a good man. We just grow like that. The only things we hear is men don't cry. Why? Jesus wept. So that leaves us with no choice but to die from the inside out, from the inside. Because we are also emotional, there are things that really bother us. We go through situations and moments that are really hard. But because you have been taught not to cry, then you suffer from the inside. You begin to worry and to crumble down, and the pressure is building up. You don't know what to do. Some men, what they will do, they will go into the gym. And because they want to really be men, because they don't know how to be men, nobody has told them how to be a man. So they build their bodies, they come walk like, you know, bulls. But inside them, they are struggling. They are struggling and they are timid, full of fear. They don't know what to do. Yes, they have built their body, but remember, you are not a body, you are a spirit. Even when you build your body like, you know, like Schwarzenegger or something like that, we still struggle from the inside. Who is helping us? The church has also gone almost feminine. The message is preaching today. You don't hear the male stuff. Men are ragged. Men must be resolute. You know, men, you know, we need male stuff. You see, Jesus is the Lamb of God, which is really wonderful. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But I want you to remember that Jesus is also the Lion of Judah. So where is the Lion of Judah in the preaching today? Even pastors have lost it. But God has not forgotten about us. We need to hear this. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We need to hear this. And God is bringing us back. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we we stand in our place. We stand in the presence of God so that we do not malfunction. Okay? Yeah, Niger, where's Niger? Yeah, you let me know when I'm supposed to finish. You know, I didn't tell myself. Tell me. Okay, just go on. Okay, you're right. So let me know when I have 10 minutes, so that when I have 10 minutes left, show me something, show me a sign. So, yeah. Okay? Another 15. All right, yeah, I need to be sure. I have a lot of stuff here for men. God has been preparing me for long. So there's a lot of stuff, but I'll be wise to pick, choose. I pray the Holy Spirit will help me do that. Okay, you've many times heard that the man is the head of the family. And that has been given a wrong interpretation, that men are supposed to be on top of the family. Well, I came 5,000 miles away to come and correct that. Men are not on top of the family. Men are on the bottom. Because they are the foundation. Whoa. Now you know. If there is anybody that is going to be on top, women and children can be on top, men are in the foundation. Hallelujah. So, I don't know how it sounds, but that's it. When you go on top, we're in the wrong position. We must be on the foundation. We must lay the foundation for our children, for our wives, for everybody, for nations and communities. We must be the foundation upon which nations are built. Because strong men build strong families. Strong families, therefore, build strong churches. And strong churches build strong nations. Hallelujah. So you're part of that foundation. Don't lose it. Always be at the bottom, building up your family. And of course, if you don't service the bottom, because most men service the top. We service ourselves on the outside, put on very well. You know, like I said, we go in the gym and look very well. But the inside, the foundation is shaking, almost not there. Now, one of the spiritual, social, economic, political, and psychological curse that we have on humanity today is fatherlessness. It's a curse on humanity. We no longer have fathers. Fathers are gone. And it doesn't mean when you have a father in the house, it doesn't mean he's growing you. It doesn't mean he's mentoring you. No, it doesn't mean that. We have to teach about fatherhood and lay the foundation for our families so that we remove this curse. Look at this. When our wives get pregnant, the children stay nine months in their wombs. When they give birth, they are likely to be attended by a female nurse. When our children go to the elementary schools, they are likely to be taught by a female teacher. When they come to Sunday school, children church, they are likely to be taught by a female teacher. When family get problems and we have to divorce, who stays with the children? Women. Is that right? You're not answering me.
No. Generally.
Generally.
Not right.
Okay. But in other places, according to the statistics, because when I say things, I've already made a research. So go and make a research on that. Who's likely to stay with the children? It's not men, most likely, especially when they are too young. You know what I'm saying? They're likely to stay with their mothers. So what does that mean? Now, look at this young boy who is being brought up by mother. By the time he grows up, he's more of a woman than a man. Most children now growing up have non-resident fathers. So who is mentoring our upcoming children? Who is growing them? Who is helping them to be men? Who's telling them to be good husbands? Who's telling them to serve, how to serve the Lord? Because the first man that was created was also a priest. Adam was supposed to teach his family about the statutes of God, about the law that God had given. So men today must go back and teach their families the values of God into our families and into our children. I made the research, and I went to the streets and asked these girls who are on the streets, and I went into prison and I made a research. I had an interview with the prisoners, and I went to the street boys, these young boys, the gangs, and I made a research, personal research. I made it, and I asked them if they had a father figure in their lives. Almost 90% of the people I interviewed said they didn't have a father figure in their lives. So when we do not have fathers in our homes, our children are likely to go to prison. They're likely to end up on drugs, living on drugs. They become violent because they've never received a mentor, a father to grow them. This is what I'm saying. We have a universal curse on humanity called fatherlessness. If men go back and build their families, teach our children the ways of God, teach them the word of God, teach them to be men, teach them to love their wives, teach them to love their children if they ever have them. If we teach them these values, we will have a better society. And the church is so silent about it. We need to go back and teach our children. We need to be fathers, good fathers. Look at Graham. When he was sharing yesterday, he wanted to kill his father. There's a moment, I think he was about 17, he was sharing. He really desired, he was asking, "Where is my father?" Our children are crying. Where is my father's attention? Where is my father's presence? And we are not there. We need to be available to our children. Teach them the ways of God. Teach them the ways of God and mentor them into manhood. From male to manhood. Most men here who are here, maybe you've never heard from your father saying, "Well done, my son." Maybe your father has never hugged you and say, "You are my beloved son, I'm well pleased." You've never heard that. We have always received our love, the love from our moms. They have been available. But where are the men? Where are the men? Who is encouraging us? I want you to go back and encourage your family. If you're going to have one, I can see young people here who are not yet married. Please go back and encourage your children if you ever have any. When you find young people, encourage them to be good fathers. Hug your children. This is what we do. I'm not preaching this because I'm a superman in what I'm sharing. It's also a challenge in my life. I need to love my children and grow them. My young girls, I need to help them as they grow. Now, I have Rebecca, who is 14. She's going through, you know those crazy times? Have you ever been through those crazy times? So I've started a ministry called Helping Young People Out of Their Crazy Times. So I have to be with my Rebecca. I cannot leave her to the world. No, I have to be a good father to my daughters. And I have to be a good father to my son, Moses. I have to be there. We share everything. I ask her her challenges. She tells me. And we share, and I help her about life. I have to find quality time with my family. Now, quality without quantity is no quality. Make sure you have quality time with your children, but it has to be quantitative as well. Because if you give quality and it's very tiny, it's no quality then. Let us find time for our families. If you are here, you're a pastor. Some of us, we are so sold to our ministries that we forget our families. It's a struggle in Uganda, I don't know about here. But pastors are sold out. Ministers are so sold out to the ministry. Now, Jesus said, Ephesians, it's Paul. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, down verses, that women submit to your husbands. Then, let alone, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, this is the mistake we make as leaders in the church or pastors. This is for pastors especially. We love Jesus' wife and we forsake our own. We love the church so much that we forget our own families. Now, the most unruly children in this world are pastors' children. Do you know why? Because the pastors are sold out to their ministries. We need to find time for our children, for our families. Encourage them. Our wives, the children are craving for the father's love, for the husband's love. You remember in the Old Testament, all the children ran to the fathers for the blessing. No one ever ran to the mother for a blessing in all through scriptures. But where are the fathers blessing their children? We have left everything. We have relinquished our roles to the wife. We need to rise up and build a new generation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. A generation that will fear God. Let me look where I finish. Thank you, Lord. So we need to discover who we are and find our purpose and why God created us. Very important. And know our position in God. Make sure that we go back into His presence. That's where alone we can function. Find yourself, discover who you are. Now, leadership has a lot to do with discovering who you are, not just leading people, leading your family. Discover who you are as a husband, as a man. Discover your roles. But I know we are living in a day where it is very difficult to be a man. Very difficult. Very difficult. But men should go for difficult things. I started going in a gym. You know, I started just a few months ago. And my trainer says, so I'm lifting the things and it's not counting. I say, why are you counting? Why are you not counting? He tells me, I'll count when it starts paining you. When it's not paining, I'm not counting. So when it's like I can't put the thing up, then it starts counting one. And it's like, no, you shouldn't do that. But I learned a lesson. When things become difficult, I think we should start counting when things begin to go difficult. When things go on sale, when they go so easy, we shouldn't count. But when your families begin to go into crazy times, that's when the man should begin to count. That's when the man should be on his knees and help his wife and children and pray real hard to make sure that everything goes well. So men should not go for very easy things. We are men. Come on, men. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Don't go for easy things. Make sure, don't run away from situations. That's what I mean. Don't run away from situations. I have to make a choice to love my wife every day. I would have kicked Flavia out of my house already. She annoys me just as I annoy her. But you know what? but you know why we are still together? I choose to love her every day. And I choose to forgive her every day. Actually, I developed a principle that I forgive my wife before she offends me. By the time she offends me, she's already forgiven. I love my wife just Jesus loves his church and forgives it. So I forgive my wife. If she doesn't forgive me, that's okay. But I forgive her because I am the man. I go for the difficult part. And when it starts to pain, then I start counting. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So that's really important. But I also know that there are men here who are really hurting. You have been through situations. You didn't know what to do. Nobody has ever told you what to do when you come to these crazy times. Maybe you've lost your family. Maybe you lost your children. They're no longer with you. I was sharing in one of the men's breakfasts somewhere. I think 3 years ago I was here. And we had a very powerful man of God. I won't say his name because he's very popular here. But he told us, he shared with us and said he had not seen his children for the last 7 years because he was not allowed to. And he was crying. You know, he was the guest preacher and he was preaching in power and mighty and heavy anointing. But inside him, there was pain. You see, women process their issues externally. Women always talk about their issues and we always accuse them of talking too much. But that heals them because they share their stuff. women will go into the washroom, total strangers, and they will come out bonded friends. They connect so easily. But you could be friends, Terry and your friend here, maybe for 5 years, and he may not know your problems. And that's what we are. We are struggling. We always, when we meet, we talk about cars, we talk about gadgets, we talk about houses, we talk about football. And when we leave, you go alone in your house, you're struggling. You don't know who to talk to because everybody's struggling. And you have been taught from childhood, men don't cry. Because men process their issues internally. I think men die painful death when you know, because they die alone in their nest. Nobody has known what is killing them. They are paining inside. And they're not crying, they're not sharing because they think they are men. At the end of the day, they crush. They cliff crush and they die painfully. Today, you don't have to die like that. We came all the way, 5,000 miles away, paid my own ticket to come here to share with you, because to me, it is really precious. If you are here, you are hurting. You need to open up. Please do. You won't turn into a woman when you open up. Because some people think when I open up, they won't think I'm weak, I'm wimpy, I'm nothing. No. I've learned to open up. The reason why I work with this man here, we open up to each other. We share problems, challenges. He rebukes me when I do wrong. He's my father figure. You know Apostle John Bonjo, yeah? That's another man. The father, they oversee my life. When I'm going through my crazy times, I'll call them and they're always there for me. Who is there for me? Now the children will talk to the mom. The mom will talk to the father. Who the father is talking to? Whom the father, are you talking to anybody as a father, as a man? The old children always cry and the mom will run fast. When the woman is, you know, going through trouble, she will always share everything with the husband. Who do you share with? And we die alone in our caves, in our nests. And the enemy will whisper us, go and hang yourself. Be violent. Go and kill them. This is what Grandma was saying. I wanted to kill my father. He's alone. And I was thinking, if Bibles were allowed in schools, people like Graham would not end up in prison. Now, Bibles are encouraged in prisons and they are not encouraged in schools. Crazy society. He wanted to kill because he did not have anybody to speak to. There's another man in Uganda. He killed his wife and children. He killed them. We're somewhere in Uganda. And when he was interviewed, he said, I went to my father. I told him what I was going through. I wanted to talk to him. He said, get away. You are a waste. And he went to his mother, said, if your father is not welcoming you, I'm not welcoming you. Go away. And what did he? And the enemy whispered to him. He was alone. What did he do? Domestic violence. Killed the wife and killed the children. Who are you talking to? Young men should keep the company of older men who have made it in life. Go and share your plight. Go and share your troubles. Don't die alone. Cry before the Lord. When I say men should also cry, I don't mean go every time, go to your wife. Oh, I don't know what we are going to eat. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not saying that. But let us express our deepest troubles unto the Lord. And let us share. I like when we are sharing together, you know, at the fire yesterday. When we are in this conference of the weekend, please share with other men. Pray with them. I want to see men praying together on this site. Share your problems, what you're going through. Because what you're going through, I'm going through. Share that with me. If you want to come after the service here, let us pray together. Let us share. And not die alone. And I want you to know that God is with you. And he has not forgotten about us. And I prophesy that this weekend meeting today is going to turn into thousands of people coming together all over the nation. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you. Thank you. And I say thank you for not forgetting us, Lord. We've gone astray like the sheep. But thank you for bringing us back together and into your presence. Lord, I really believe and I know that there are many here who are struggling. They are dying alone in their nests, in their caves. We are not sharing, which is really a big mistake, Lord. But Father, we choose to open up. Reach out that man that was about to make a wrong decision. Some of us have already made wrong decisions, Lord. Because we had nobody to talk to. Nobody was there to encourage us. There were no conferences like this where men can sit alone and share and open up. But Father God, you who are able to reach into the chambers of our hearts, come and enter the chambers of our hearts and take away the pain. I remember this man I was talking to in South Sussex. He told me he was struggling in his house. He was dying in his house. And nobody seems to care because he couldn't even open up. Father God, if there's anybody like that here, Lord, you brought us all the way from Africa to come and share with our brothers. Heal, O Lord. Heal, O Lord. Like you healed that man that was at the pool for 38 years. He was there, struggling with life, 38 years, struggling. Lord, come and heal. Come and heal. Malcolm, can I have your instrument, those who are playing the keyboard? I want to be in this time, this moment, give your heart to Jesus and open up. You don't have to die with your issues. Surrender. I like that song when you sang surrender. We surrender all to Jesus. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Jesus, for he cares. Not what you care for, but he cares for you. Not what you care for, but he cares for you. Because we care so much. And we are intimidated and we're fearing. We have the outer appearance, but inside of us, we're dying. We're dying from the inside. And that's what the enemy wants. That's how he wants to kill us. But we can be healed today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you promised us, Lord, that whenever we meet the men, you will show yourself and you will heal them. And we have seen you healing families. We have seen you healing men. We've seen you healing pastors. You've seen you healing young people. You've seen people forgiving. Some of you are still holding a grudge with your father because maybe he abused you. Maybe he was not there for you. Now you are blaming him. Release and forgive, the Lord says. There are people who are here who need to forgive those who hurt them. If you have been not there for your family, for your children, become remorseful. Pledge to go back to your family. Thank you, Lord. Can we stand up all before the Lord? Many should be standing up. If you want to kneel down, if you want to stand up, if you want to lay prostrate before the Lord, it's all well. It's a moment of healing. It's a moment of going back to the garden. It's a moment of moving away where you have been malfunctioning and dying. Now going back into his presence. Come on, Jesus.